Hello, friends. Welcome back to Grace from My Home. This is Audrey McCracken. I'm so glad to be back with you again this week. It is such a blessing to be able to come to you each week and share with you. And my heart's desire is to be an encouragement to you. This week, we are experiencing fall. The temperatures have dropped. And it's getting a little cooler, just a little cooler, but cool enough that we can go outside and enjoy the weather and not worry so much about the humidity or the temperature. And it's becoming sweater weather. And so I'm so excited about that. I just love the fall. I love the change of season. And I said this a few weeks ago, I love it when the seasons change because it reminds me that things are always changing, that God is always doing something new, and we have to be flexible. We have to embrace the new, because you don't want to spend the entire season you're in being upset because it's not the season that came, because it's not last season or it's not the next season. You know, so many times we're in a season in life and it's just not where we want to be. We're not comfortable in that season. And so we either pine over the past or dream about the future instead of just enjoying where we are right now. Because there are so many blessings right where we are right now. And so, happy fall. I say all that to say happy fall. God is doing something. Each week when I come to you guys, I remind you that you can be a blessing to me if I have been a blessing to you by going to my Buy Me a Coffee link and donating towards this podcast, because that helps me with the production cost of putting this together. And this week I want to thank Jody. I don't know where Jody's from. I don't know where she's listening, but she sent me the nicest little note with a donation, and it so blessed my heart. And I just want to say thank you. I want to give a shout out to Jody and say thank you so much. That was such a blessing to hear from you and to hear that this podcast is encouraging to you, because that's why I do it. And so that's like putting wind in my sails. Also, I want to remind anyone else who is listening, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, you can go to the show notes, go to Buy Me a Coffee. Anything that you give is much appreciated, and it goes directly to the cost of putting this out. Also, I want to remind you, if you would like to hear from me more throughout the week, go to gracefrommyhome.com and sign up for my newsletter, or there's a link in the show notes as well, and you can sign up and receive weekly emails from me, and that's another way to stay in touch with me. I would love to hear from you. There's several ways to do that. If you go to the show notes, you can send me a text, you can send me an email, you can connect with me on Facebook or Instagram, and I would so love to connect with you and find out more about you. This week, I want to talk with you about tradition and custom, and this is the season, right? We're going into the holiday season. October always reminds me that we're about to hit the holidays. And, you know, there's a whole mindset, right? It starts with pumpkin spice and it goes all the way through January 1st with New Year's. But we're going into that holiday season, and I love the holidays. You know, in our home, I've always tried to make the holidays special. And I want my kids to have good memories of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the holidays, you know, like Easter and New Year. And I want them to remember good times in our home. And I love tradition. I love to have things in our home that are just our things, things that I hope that one day they may pass on to their kids. And even if they don't, it was a blessing to our home. And, you know, I just love things like that. And I loved, as a young mom, deciding what things we will do and how we will do those things. You know, one of our traditions, just a small thing, is the day after Thanksgiving, when our kids were young, we would always go and get our Christmas tree that day. and bring it home and set it up. And that's just a fun memory. So many years, I have photos of so many years where we did that. And we still try to do that, even though now that they're older, they have other things going on. And we don't always get it exactly on that day. But that's a fun tradition. And, you know, I think that tradition is a blessing. And we, as people, we are drawn to traditions. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Traditions are wonderful vehicles, are wonderful ways to live out our faith. And a lot of times we embody our faith. We obey the Lord's commandments in the form of traditions or customs. And they can get intertwined where we don't realize sometimes where we can't distinguish the two. You know, it's kind of like, this is the way I serve the Lord. And sometimes, you know, if people don't serve the Lord the way I serve the Lord, then, you know, I think they're doing it wrong. And they're not necessarily doing it wrong. It's just different. And so many times we can confuse or mix up the way we serve the Lord with the way other people serve the Lord, and we become judgmental because they don't do it the same way. And I'm not talking about the infallible Word of God. I'm not talking about changing God's Word based on your decision or on your custom or on your likes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that the Lord has given us wonderful variety. He's given us a lot of room in how we obey Him and how we honor Him based on our culture, based on our environment, based on, you know, our heritage. We have a lot of freedom in Christ. And sometimes we can try to limit other people's freedoms because they don't do it our way. You know, we had a missionary in our church years ago who was from India, and he talked about how growing up in a small village in India, they were not a Christian village. And, well, a group of missionaries came through their village and the surrounding villages and brought the gospel to them, brought the good news of Jesus Christ. And their village and several around them became Christian. And God did a major work in their lives. And it was just a huge revival. But he said immediately after that, those that had shared the gospel with them tried to impose their own customs on them. And it didn't go well. Like, they tried to tell them, you must dress this way. You must sing these kind of songs. You must serve God this way. And instead of taking the gospel and letting these people find Jesus in their own culture, they tried to not just give them the gospel, but give them a whole new culture. And that doesn't work well, because people need to know that God loves them and God has a special plan for them. And sometimes it takes time to figure out how to honor God and to serve God and to obey God's commandments in the light of our own environment, in the light of our own culture, our own people. And as moms, we have an enormous responsibility of taking God's word and figuring out how are we going to live God's word in our home and pass on God's word in our home. And that's one of the ways that tradition and custom are very helpful, because they help us to shape faith in our home. That's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what we have to be careful of is where we confuse the two and we are rigid in our beliefs that our way is the right way or that our custom is the right custom. And I can't get into all of this. It's a really good teaching, and maybe I can do that in a longer podcast. But today I just wanted to touch on it. One of the scriptures I want to read to you today, or both of the scriptures I want to read to you today, are out of the book of Luke. And the first scripture is Luke 5:36-39. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is what he says. It says in verse 36, he told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new, for they will say, the old is better. And the way I look at this passage is Jesus was doing a new thing. He was bringing new wine. And the old ways, the old traditions, the old ways of thinking could not hold the new wine. And he knew that his disciples would have to have a new mindset, a new way of thinking before they could handle the new wine. And so he's telling them, you know, you have to have new wineskins. You can't even receive this new thing unless you have a new way of holding it. Because the old way, the old patterns won't work. The wine will be wasted. It'll be wasted because the wineskins will burst. And sometimes when Jesus wants to do something new, we have to allow him the freedom to do that in our lives, even when it means we have to change. You know, sometimes this happens in a lot of ways, in a lot of areas, but sometimes people won't change. They just don't want to change. And see, a lot of times we're like that. We want the change. We want the newness. We want the good things, but we want to continue doing the same things. And change doesn't work that way. You know, we want everybody else to change, right? If everybody else could change and I could experience the newness of change, that would be great. But we can only experience the newness of change when we do something different ourselves. And that's uncomfortable. You know, Jesus said, if you've had the old wine, you're going to say, oh, that's better. I'll just stay with the old wine. But what if Jesus wants to do something new? What if he wants to show you a new part of him or a new way? And you're satisfied with the old and say, no, I'm fine, Lord. He wants us to be hungry for something new. He wants us to be looking for him. The other scripture I want to read to you is also from the book of Luke. It's Luke starting in chapter 2, and it's a story. It's the story of a young Jesus who is going with his parents to Jerusalem during the feast of the Passover. And it's in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. And I'm just going to read this story to you. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was with their company, they traveled for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Jerusalem with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, this is one of the very few pictures we get to see of Jesus as a young person before he comes into his ministry. And I think it's a transition period. And I think there's a lot we can learn from this passage. You know, Mary has a huge responsibility. You know, we all as moms have a huge responsibility. But I don't think any of us can even imagine the responsibility of what's been placed in her hands. God has literally placed his own son in this woman's hands to love, teach, protect, and mother. And she loses him. I can only imagine. I mean, I have lost one of my kids in the grocery store. Have you ever done that? It was in Walmart one day when my oldest son was, he was probably around five. He turned 18 last week. So it's been a while. But I remember I was in the aisle in Walmart looking at something. He was right beside me and I was picking out what I was going to get. And when I turned back, he was gone. And the fear, for just a few minutes, he had seen something on the end of the aisle he wanted to look at. And for just a few minutes, the fear that ran through me, and I panicked. You know, I'm calling his name. I'm running down the aisle. And when I find him, he looks at me like I'm a crazy woman because he knew exactly where I was. I just didn't know where he was. And so I often think of that when I read this passage, and I think, I cannot imagine losing the Son of God for an entire day. And she had a lot of pressure on her. But when I read this, look back, when I read this in verse 41, it says, every year they did this. They went to Jerusalem on this feast. It says in verse 42, as was their custom. And then they just knew, they just assumed Jesus was with their family because that's what they did every year. I mean, they've been doing this for 12 years, right? He's 12 years old. They've been doing it a long time. And this is just what they did. They were going through the motions. This is what we do every year. We make this trip. You know, we honor the Lord in this way. And Jesus knows this is how we honor the Lord. He's part of the program. He knows what we do. And so this one year, things change. And Mary didn't get the memo, as we say. She just assumed Jesus was going along with the program. He knows the program. This is what we do. But this year, the Father was speaking to Jesus and doing something new. And so while Mary and Joseph were just continuing to do the thing that they knew, God was doing something new in Jesus. And by the time she realized it, she didn't have any idea where he was. And so they panic and they search for him. And when they find him, they're upset with him. Can't you hear the words and can't you hear the concern in her voice when she says, why have you treated us this way? She just can't understand why he would do this, why he wouldn't be where he was supposed to be, where she expected him to be. And I think we can learn a lot in this story because I think we do this. You know, we have a way of serving God. We have a tradition and it's part of us. It's part of what we do. And we just expect Jesus to be there. And he always has been. But what if he's doing something different? And we haven't checked in with him. And we just assume he's with us. But what if he's not? And we're just going along with our family and our friends like we always have. and we just expect Jesus to be there. But we need to check in with Jesus. We need to make sure he's still in our caravan. And if not, we need to be seeking him and finding out what is he doing now. See, something changed that day for Mary. For 12 years, Jesus had been following her around. Jesus had been learning from her. And now, she's seeking him. He's no longer following Mary. Mary is following him. It's a new day. God's doing something new. And it's uncomfortable because we don't know the rules. We would just rather go on autopilot and do it the old way because the old seems better. But we want the new. We want the new wine. We want what God's doing, what he's pouring out. We want that. And so we have to change. We have to seek Jesus new and fresh. And we have to seek him until we find him. We're going to find him when we seek him with all of our heart. And in seeking him, we're going to learn that true submission to Jesus isn't asking him to bless our plan. It's asking him to show us his plan so we can get in his plan. See, Jesus isn't following us around. We must follow him now. We must seek his will as he is in his Father's house, as he's doing the Father's will. So we have to seek Jesus' will. We have to look for his plan. And tradition is wonderful. Custom is great until it's not. It's a tool for us to use, not a prison for us to stay in. You know, God, we as humans gravitate towards what is comfortable and what is familiar. And we learn well with traditions and with customs that we can pass on to our children. It's a wonderful way to teach. But above and higher than all of those traditions and all of those customs is learning to recognize the voice of the Lord and to follow him no matter what. We have to teach our children, you follow Jesus no matter what. Even if it goes against the things that you want, even if it goes against the things that, you know, you've always done or the way we've always done it, you have to have ears to hear what is God doing now. And you have to have the courage to do that, even if it goes against the tradition, the things that your family's doing, the things that your church is doing, the things that your relatives and family have always done. You know, one day Jesus was walking with his disciples. There was a whole crowd of people following him. And right in the middle of them walking, he turns around and he says to them, unless you hate your wife, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, even your own self, even your own life, unless you hate even your own life and are willing to take up your cross and follow me, then you can't follow me. You can't. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is that God before everything else. God before everything else. He wants us to passionately love him above all other things. And then we can truly enjoy those things because they don't have us. They don't own us. They can't own us. We belong to Jesus. And so when we put him first, we can enjoy those things. And those things not be idols in our life. God wants us to be free of idols so we can serve him freely. Even the idols of our traditions and our customs that no longer fit because we've put them above immediately obeying the voice of the Lord. And that's why we have to have ears to hear what he's saying. And we have to have eyes to see what he's doing so that we can do that. So we can obey him and not just be going with the flow, because that's, you know, what we've always done. And, you know, that's where it's exciting. That's where it gets exciting, is when we hear his voice and we go do something new that we've never done before. And we're not exactly sure how it's going to work out, but we're walking by faith. That's what it means to walk by faith, is I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work out, but I trust him. And that's what Abraham did. He said, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going, but I'm going because he called me. And I don't have my tradition to fall back on. And I don't have, you know, it all figured out. The path is not very clear right now, but I trust him. And that's a wonderful place to be, and it's a scary place to be. But you're fully alive because you're having to lean on him. Isn't that beautiful? Let's follow Jesus no matter where he's going. Let's follow him. He's not going to lead us wrong. He's not going to lead us down the wrong path. Amen. Father, I thank you for these ladies who are growing in grace, Lord. We're all growing in grace. And I thank you that you've got enough grace for us. And I pray, Lord, that these words that I've spoken to them today would be, Lord, the strength that they need to trust you when they're walking places that they've never walked before. And that they would know that you're with them and that you're for them and you're not against them. In Jesus' name, amen.